I was the child that when deliverance started, I didn't run. I'd be like, girl, come and see power. Me that I preached at 15 in the church, there were people falling under anointing. I asked this question, did I get a discounted Christianity? When your boundaries are violated, it's hard to enforce them. Yeah. At some point, I was exposed to a lot of sexual material. And I heard the Spirit of God say, welcome to your wilderness. So I found myself in a hotel. I gave my life to God so much at uni that one day they did altar call.
And the pastor told you not to come.
I was the first to come out. The pastor didn't even pray for salvation. He just gave me double portion of his anointing. I said, it's not anointing. I want. I need the salvation to stick.
Welcome back to the Come See podcast with me, Dami Okeke. Such a pleasure to have you again. And I just want to start off by saying thank you to every subscriber, everyone who listens on Apple, those who listen on Spotify. Thank you to those who watch on YouTube. Just a reminder that we actually have social media platforms as well. So at Come See podcast on TikTok, at Come See podcast on Instagram, or you can follow me as well, Dami Lola. On Instagram. And yeah, I just want to get the housekeeping out of the way. Thank you so much for all your support. I'm very, very grateful. And that's why I have another amazing guest for you today. So my guest today is a passionate woman of God, rich in biblical wisdom. She's been in ministry for over 15 years. She doesn't hold back when she's sharing God's word, as she desires to see every soul respond to the gospel of Jesus. She is the founder of Eleuthera and currently serves as the senior pastor at Salem South London. It's my honor to welcome Reverend Wanu Adefala.
Dun, dun, dun. Thank you so much.
We need like a full heavenly choir orchestra.
Okay, with the cymbals.
Thank you so much. I am honestly so grateful to have you.
Thank you
on the podcast. I know that this is going to be good.
Amen.
This is going to be meat. So
Amen.
If you haven't eaten, good, because you're going to be fed spiritually. Amen. Thank you so much for coming on. So I'm going to start by asking you about your Come See story. Let's start from your faith story. And then did you have a da-da-da-da kind of, oh my goodness, Jesus is Lord? Or was it like, yeah, I've been knowing Jesus is Lord? What was your faith journey?
Thank you for having me, genuinely. I'm being so gracious, you know, behind the scenes. So thank you for that. So I came to know the Lord between the age of, I try and gauge it from 5 and 6, just wow. For my consciousness. I think it was, I want to say that age range, because I remember my 6th birthday, excuse me, and I knew that I knew him by then. So it's kind of, because I had this encounter with the Lord.
Please tell. A conscious
encounter.
At age 5 or 6?
Yes. And
do tell.
You can't come and see you.
You can't go. No, come on.
I was born in Nigeria, yes. Lagos. In a
same here.
And I live. Hey. Come on now. And I grew up in a place called Okoko Michael. Google it.
Wow.
Yeah. I do like my story. I like my journey. But when I was younger, I definitely liked to try and fit in and say, yes, you know, Ikeja.
I grew up in Lagos.
Or just get Lagos blanket. But if I'm going to be specific, I grew up in a place called Okoko Michael.
Is that like the ghetto?
I mean, like, it depends. It depends.
It's, ghetto or village?
It's a Which hidden one? Treasure.
Oh, wow.
It's
still being refined.
Yeah. The taxes are soon going to be allocated that way.
Wow.
But it has become a reference point for me. I used to go to Nigeria a lot. And ever so often, I'd like to go back there and just go back to that house where I had that encounter. So at this young age, I was sat inside, I remember being sitting on what we call akwoti.
Yeah, like a mini stall.
Come on, interpretation.
Come on.
All right, interpretation. Okay. That's good. And I was sat down by our balcony, just inside the door. But I remember specifically I was sat there. And for whatever reason that day, I was feeling quite sad. Mm. And that day I felt led to kind of lift up my eyes to the sky. And that was the first time my thoughts started going into like, wow, the sky is bigger than me. Like it was a consciousness like, wow, the sky is big. It's huge. There must be someone bigger. Like my thoughts were just going like, there must be someone bigger than me, someone bigger than my parents. Just that kind of getting lost in how big it was. Now, wow. I'm not sure at that time whether my mom had come to know the Lord by then. I knew she grew up in a Christian home, but she did backslide for a while.
Yeah.
And my dad grew up in a Muslim family and he there wasn't saved
Same.
Then. All right.
All Similarities.
Right. Okay. And so I'm not sure, but she did come, she did rededicate her life to God. So I'm not sure if at that time she had already begun, but I know my auntie MC, who was living with us at the time, she was a Christian. So I'm sure there must have been an influence there, but not that I was conscious of. This was my first conscious memory for me.
Yeah, your personal encounter.
And so as I was like kind of looking up at the sky, it just went into like a thinking of there must be someone bigger, that someone must have created all of it. Like that was just my thought as a 5 or 6 year old.
Yeah.
And then at that moment, I felt a presence,
wow,
who I now know to be the Holy Spirit, on my left side, specifically my left side. And it almost like if you turned, like you would expect a person there.
To be there.
And then he started telling me about how I wasn't always going to be where I was and going to fly.
5 or 6.
Yeah. So a plane went past at the time and the Holy Spirit told me I'm going to go on the plane one day. And not long after that, my mom actually got, with her work that she was doing at the time, she flew to Abuja and we flew from Lagos to a plane. So I said to my friend, Holy Spirit, that, oh, this is it. But he was like, no, this is not it. Only for me to, when we flew to the UK and moved, it was like,
this is it.
because it was all about preaching the gospel and things like that. And so that was my real first encounter of the person of the Holy Spirit. And then the reason I think my mom must have been in God at the time is like, I was young. So the time frame, I'm not sure. But she then used to take us to church, my brother and I. And the presence I would feel in
that
church
same presence.
Was a witness. It's like, oh, you're here kind of thing. Like,
wow.
Oh, okay. So this is us. And at the time, my grandparents on my dad's side were Muslims. And so when we go to their side or maybe even at school at the time, every Friday we did Muslim prayer.
I'm laughing because I completely understand.
And I just was like, nah, this isn't it. And before I would like participate in like the Muslim prayer, learn the prayer. But after a while, growing up, like because I 5 and 6, but it took a while to go to that school. But there was just something in me when I was in school that was like,
I don't want this. Yeah.
So it was like, when I go to grandparents, seeing, they didn't, my grandparents never made us practice it, just to see like, you know, they did Ileya or.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you from Ijebu?
Yes. Hey. No, it's
sure
actually genuine because we haven't had like a conversation about. Because
I left when I was 7. So that's about as lit as my knowledge.
I don't
knowledge.
Know nothing about Ijebu either. I just rep it because that's where I'm from.
But yes. Yes.
Okay. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, saving people from Ijebu. But I love it. I met another sister. Yes. Hey, girl.
Yes.
In the faith. Yes, Jesus.
Come on.
So obviously growing up, my dad eventually came to faith. When I was going to school, the Muslim prayer thing just didn't fit with my knowledge of God. So I just knew that's not the way I was going to go. I was going to go through Christ.
Yeah.
I probably preached my first message on a bus. And I was sat down. You know, like in Nigeria now.
Like just randomly, I'm just going to do
this. I was
this.
Sat on the bus and my friend, Holy Spirit, told me to tell them
Can
about
I just
me.
Ask, just for a second, were you a lonely child or did you have, like, friends?
I had cousins, I had friends.
Oh my goodness. So it's not like you had this imaginary friend.
No, it wasn't imaginary. That's why I'm always like telling parents that when your child starts talking about imaginary friend, you better introduce them to the person of the Holy Spirit.
Because
spirits be introducing themselves
to children. Yeah.
So let's get it.
Yeah. Sorry. So you were on the bus.
So I was on the bus. I was coming from Central Bank of Nigeria Primary School in Alakija.
Shout out.
Go find out. So I was a little bit older then, and the Lord asked me to tell them about him.
On the bus. This is a school bus or a public bus?
Public bus.
How old? How old are you?
I'm under 10.
Wow. Okay.
I'm definitely under 10.
Okay.
But definitely older than 6.
Were you by yourself or were you with...
So usually when I'm on the bus, I'm with my brother.
Okay.
But yeah. I don't know if
Shout
he remembers...
Shout out to Reverend Ade.
Yes, Reverend Ade. You know, I have 4 brothers. I have 4 brothers, 2 halves and... 2
wow.
fools, I guess is what you would say. But Reverend Ade we're close to him in 8, so we definitely experienced this whole Niger thing together.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure if he remembers that moment. Because he's God. It's weird how you can grow up in the same household and your God encounters be like
so distinctly different.
Distinctive. I think there's only my friends, Apostle Toby and Apostle Tommy, their God stories kind of they had that twin thing going on. So I was like, okay. but yeah. But even in that, they still have quite distinctive stories as well. And so I stood up and I guess at that time, I knew John 3:16, God so loved the world.
Yeah.
So that was pretty much like the message is very basic.
And you said that to a
that's
bus
basically what I said. Nobody told me to sit down.
Of strangers.
In the heat. My dear, that's what it was. But that was my first knowing that this was something that he has called me to let them know. Now, I've had different encounters. You know, I loved Sunday school when it was like you're teaching real stuff, but I really loved the adult church. I was the kid that was like, keep me here, stay
don't
here.
Take me to the biscuits.
I want the meat. I would be like, ooh. I was the child that when deliverance started, I didn't run. I'll be like, girl, come on, see
action.
Power. Yes.
Wow.
And then we had house fellowships. My dad got saved and he started the family altar. And glory to God. Now, that don't mean that you should go marry an unbeliever because you're trying to see if they will get saved.
Maybe not.
No.
It can backfire.
No, don't do that. Okay. The standard is what Jesus expressed in his word, what Paul expressed in the word of God.
Yeah.
We should not be unequally yoked with the unbeliever. Yeah. But thank God
in his mercy,
my dad has come to salvation and, you know, he champions us in ministry and it's amazing. But, you know, and I really wish that the story ended there. Really wish that I could say,
then I was on fire.
And
then
and Jesus has no record of wrongs. I wish I could.
A backsliding?
Backsliding. More triple slide. You know them.
You that the Holy Spirit was speaking to at age 5, 6.
Please, Solomon, how? Go. Habas, don't blame Solomon. Solomon too. God even gave him blank check. And the guy still...
This I have to hear.
You know them ones where... Have you ever fallen down, but you didn't fall down? You caused one big Bossa. Drama first. Just, you're just sliding up and out. What? The slide was sliding, bruv.
Wow.
And I think...
This was in the UK, right?
It was in the UK, so...
Don't worry, we're not saying the UK is where children... Before some parents
Listen,
are like...
I've done my own research. I did research. And some people that came here on fire for Jesus, they were seeing lights. Mosquito wasn't biting them.
And all of a sudden,
that... Fire
that just, zeal.
Because sometimes convenience and comfort can actually be the enemy of
that faith,
that burning
that zeal.
Fire.
But don't you think that sometimes it reveals how true that faith is? Like if your faith can't handle luxury, then are you just following Christ because you are like desperate, struggling?
Yourself. Interpret.
What did you say?
Oh, they're in yourself.
You have that.
I do. I agree to an extent.
Yeah.
But I find that there is a pattern we see in scripture. So, for example, in the book of Acts, they have the outpouring of the Spirit of God, but the instruction was for them to take the gospel, not just to Jerusalem, to Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost
to the ends of the world. Yeah.
They did not do that until persecution came.
Yes.
There is something about
adversity.
Adversity that acts as a trigger, a catalyst, if you will, for us to take. I've been kind of meditating on this for the past couple of hours since I was in a roundtable conversation yesterday with some ministers from America, and we're talking about migration and how migration and the gospel and looking at it. And I thought, you know what? People come and move across the earth for different reasons.
Come on.
And if you have people on fire, like the Bible literally says in Acts chapter 8, that those that were scattered everywhere preached the gospel everywhere.
Yeah, and the gospel spread by reason of them.
And they left Jerusalem because of persecution, but because the gospel was part of their lives, wherever they went, which is how you see Abraham, wherever Abraham went, he would build an altar.
Yeah.
And so I told my one of my professors, I said, you need to write a book called God is in the Chaos.
Ooh.
Like, you're moving for economic thing. There's war here. But there are people from Hong Kong that are on fire for God.
100%
agree with
you.
Coming into the UK. And
I
all of a sudden,
100% agree with you.
I just think that God is moving and allowing the church from different ends of the earth to meet each other. And to, I mean, for the UK, we've seen a lot of people come into the UK.
Yeah.
Some coming to stay. I meet people and say, God told me to leave my country and come to the UK.
Wow.
It gives me hope because I'm like, God is up to something in the UK.
Yeah, right. He's after the hearts here. Yeah.
Yesterday, I had Americans come in. They said they went to learn. I said, learn what?
I said,
what do you mean? Because usually, when people come, they're like, this place is dry. But they said, no, there is something that we have here, especially in London, the multicultural city and the multicultural worship and how the nations are literally at our footsteps. We no longer have to travel abroad to encounter the nations. They're here, which is an incredible opportunity for the spread of the gospel.
Absolutely.
And so I sat down, I was like, Father, we thank you that there is something in London that people are coming to learn. And I know
praise
there will be
God.
More
ages
if we press into it. So I really do think that on one hand, yes, if your faith can't handle wealth, why you? But Paul said something. He said, I've learned how to abound and to abase.
Exactly.
Because on the flip side, there are some people that are good
when they are comfortable.
When they are comfortable, but then all of a sudden God has rejected me because I'm in a low space. So I do think there's a trigger that I believe persecution and adversity can. How many, can I say this?
Yes, you can.
You may edit it though, but let me not be gender specific. How many people have said, pain but my purpose, heartbreak? How many people have gone?
Oh, come on.
Dun, 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 dun.
Come on.
Heartbreak. So that guy that broke your heart was an evangelist. He
ministered, the Lord ministered through that situationship to get you.
Exactly. And it's a thing where God, in his word, he said, I showed you my goodness and you still didn't repent. The goodness of God should lead to repentance, but it doesn't always.
Yeah.
And even when you're going through hard
sometimes,
times, it's still
it takes
the
chastening. You know,
it is
those
the goodness
who
of
he
God.
Loves.
Yes.
He chastens. Yeah.
So unfortunately, I don't glory in my slides.
Do you know what? Let me just come in because I've noticed there's been a massive caveat, right? Before, so I just want to know, what did you do?
What did I not do, my sister? What did I not do? And you know what it is?
Oh,
especially,
my days.
I think, I mean, I can give you examples. Because after a while, I had to go ask. I asked this question. Did I get a discounted Christianity?
Do I need to ask for my money back?
Because it was literally like, you will hear some of our fathers and the older generation. They got saved, then they got saved, and that was it. You don't hear that they were sliding, triple sliding. They don't say in this generation, they will now say, oh, I wasn't talking to God because I was upset. I said, wow,
you mean
the creator of the whole earth that can take you out like this. You just decided, you know,
we're not talking.
God said something.
You're giving God the silent treatment.
Yes, God said something, and I was like, I don't really want to do that right now. And I just I said, whoa, whoa, whoa. Because it's friendship.
Wow. Yeah.
But this generation, I believe that we have such great opportunity. And I believe that
Absolutely.
We are for us to be born in this hour, for at this such time, there is something that God trusts that we can accomplish.
Absolutely.
But I do think that we need to discover not just him as Savior, but him as Lord.
Yeah, reverence is
that
so important.
That lordship where it's like, he's my owner, he's my master.
Yeah.
Not just, Abba is great, but his fatherhood doesn't
diminish
his lordship. Yeah. And unless we discover that, the fear of the Lord will miss it. And mm-hmm. so we will
continue to
dip and because it's the fear of God that stops you from sinning.
Yeah.
I think John Bevere gave in his book, The Awe of God, and there's another book called The Fear of God. He speaks about this preacher that was doing great things in America that ended up in jail. And he went to visit him and said,
how?
he said, when did you stop loving God? And he said, I didn't stop loving God. I just didn't fear him.
Mm.
And that is something that we need to rediscover. And for me,
I feel
as much as I grew up knowing the Lord, there were gaps in my discipleship.
Yeah.
Even though I encountered him from a very young age, there wasn't intentional step by step. Yeah. My mom and my dad did a great job. Church did a great job. But I don't think that I was so aware of the call on my life from a very young age, I don't think I really received mentorship.
Yeah, which is what you really needed at
that
time.
Which I needed until when I got to university, really.
Okay.
And I met my bishop, Bishop David Onimisi. And by the time Bishop David came into my life, I was dealing with offense. I was dealing with lust, masturbation.
Wow.
All of that I was dealing with. Did I just say that on air? Well, there it is.
It has happened.
Shandara.
That's what the Lord
wants. I was dealing with a lot of things that was making me not be able to really be who I was.
Can you tell me about how that slippery slope started? Because I think for a lot of parents, they'll be like, no, my child went to Sunday school. My child can speak in tongues. Before they were walking, they were speaking in tongues. But then they see this child, same child, anointed child, go off the rails. And it's like, who is this person?
But you know, I was undercover off the rails.
Oh.
I was the worst
life.
Kind of, Rabba and the kiss. Jesus.
Double life.
I got to tell you, that because my mom,
worst ones.
My mom became a pastor, you know.
Oh, so you were a PK.
So I was a PK. My dad was an elder in the church. By the grace of God, God trusted him with a vision.
Yeah.
So, you know, they were part of the founding families by the grace of God. So I lived in the Romans 7 tension.
Mm.
The good that I want to do, I don't do. The evil that I don't want to do,
that's
what
I myself doing.
Do.
Yeah.
And I just didn't know. I didn't know how to break out of
it. So when did it start?
You know what? I probably shared this with a handful of people.
I'm glad I'm part of those. I'm about to become
you and the people that are watching.
No, it's just that there's no one here. It's just me and the Spirit of God.
So. And my friend. He's here.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I did have to actually think about it. Because especially with like lust and probably offense.
Yeah.
And offense is a gateway spirit.
Mm.
Offense weakens your spiritual immunity.
Wow.
Like fear does. And they open you up to being susceptible to any of the... Sin is a spiritual disease.
That's deep.
And so one of the areas that I guess... I love my parents. If you watch this, I love you dearly.
We love you,
but
mom and dad.
I think I went through the... It's not normal. I refuse to say it's normal, but just that... disconnect with my parents, disconnect with my dad, disconnect just
what led to that.
I think because
I'm gonna keep asking.
I know. I'm when you are party to some things that happen in people's marriage, your parents' marriage.
Oh, come on. It changes the way you see
them. It can, and you see the humanity. Family, I believe, is God's genius.
Absolutely.
At discipling us.
Mm.
Like where you have to love unconditionally.
Knowing the mess, knowing how messy someone is.
Yes. And it's interesting because even me, like, I can't say I was the perfect child.
No.
Does that make sense? But, and even when you're processing things from a child's perspective, you've got to, I'm not belittling the child's perspective, but I think that as an adult, I'm like, yeah, you didn't have the full picture.
Yeah.
You didn't.
Yeah. Of course, everything is magnified, is exaggerated from that perspective.
But especially when you start kind of living at the age they roughly were.
Yeah, like, you understand now. Okay.
But at the time, I didn't. Does that make sense? And it doesn't, this is not an excuse for some of the dysfunctions that I think that I experienced, but it started, I started building a picture in my heart that was offended with both my mom and my dad.
Wow.
And I didn't communicate. We didn't necessarily have that whole...
When? How are you going to have that conversation?
I love you now, then, mama. And don't cut me out of the inheritance, okay? I love you.
So in that Nigerian household, you want to be telling them that you are offended. At what age?
About what? You are not offended when you were 18. You are not offended when you were sleeping. And then also, this is probably something I've only in the past couple of years been kind of speaking about bit by bit.
Yeah.
And, okay. Yeah, so... Especially because I don't even think my daddy knows this. So it's a bit techie, but here we go. So at some point I was exposed to a lot of sexual material.
A lot of porn.
A lot of pornography.
So many of us. So many of us went through that.
But not from, like I was living in a house, or I was maybe on holiday or something, and then somebody that is older than us was watching it and we just happened to kind of see. Also... I was sexually abused.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
Were your parents aware of that or did they just find out?
I told mom, like, when I started paying tax.
Wow.
As I was paying tax.
The abuse is not funny. It's just that I feel like in African homes, we do have this... It's like, even as adults, we still have this, like, can I trust you with my vulnerability? Like, how real can I be with you, mom?
Vulnerability thing. Do you know? I don't know. You left when you were 7, right?
Yes.
I left when I was 10.
Okay.
So I was probably a little bit more ingrained
in the culture.
I actually didn't realize it affected me until much later. Like, I didn't know, and people are going to watch it and be like, really, what? I didn't know masturbation was masturbation because it started at a very young age.
Wow.
It was like, maybe I was at uni or something and someone was having a random conversation and I was like,
what?
That's what that was. Okay.
Wow. And because we don't have those conversations with our parents.
Yeah. And I think also, and people were like, well, how did you not know? Because I genuinely love the Lord. So I wasn't trying to watch certain things, but things came my way. And it opened me up to this. Kind of, I knew my conscience told me that
this
was wrong, but I didn't have a name for it.
A language, yeah.
So, and it was a default, like, it was a weird thing. So, so that happened. And then also getting to know guys, managing my boundaries. It was...
I'm not even exaggerating. There's a episode where I talk about my testimony and it's like verbatim.
They're going to say, I watched you and I was just coming to say...
No, because a lot of us did not... Our parents were surviving. Like, they were trying
to
establish themselves here. So they were not having those informed conversations about, how are you? Like, you know, you're at that age now where the opposite sex might be.
My mom actually... You know, shout out to my mom. My mom did, but by the time she was having that conversation with me... All this happened while I was in Nigeria. So this is all under 10. This is, which is, for me, I think, and I'm going to, you know, when we get up there, I'm like, am I right about that? By up there, I mean with the Lord. I really do believe that for me, God introduced himself to me at a very young age.
Because of those things.
Because I'm about to go through certain things that I needed to know without a shadow of a doubt that he is God, he is good.
He loves you.
And he loves me. And so it almost like the tears and the wheat were growing together.
Mm.
And it was, and I'm so grateful to God because I don't know who I'd be. I didn't have in my mindset, like even when I moved to this country and people were like, oh, I got abused and they were crying. I was so disconnected.
How old
were you? Like all this, like your childhood affects you. In me, I was like, you guys are not busy.
Yeah.
But that's because my maybe a defense mechanism I was always on to the next.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? It was only a couple of years ago that I was even dealing with the whole, like, it's okay for you to admit that you're hurt.
Wow.
Because it was like, let's, who has time? Like, I remember one...
But those things
they affect your soul.
They
even
do.
As you are like,
you don't realize. I think in 2020, with all the thing that was happening in the world, and I'm praying for people, walking people through death,
loss,
all of that, and I didn't realize. I was so disconnected with my own emotions that I didn't realize I was affected by everything that was happening. But how normal is it for you to wake up every morning and the first thing you check is not pray, check the death toll?
Yeah.
I was so obsessed with if it's moved or if it's, and I'm praying and I'm doing all those things, and there was so much happening. And then I realized after a while, like, wait, I'm feeling sadder for longer.
Yes.
And this is not the burden of the Lord.
Yeah.
I know the burden of the Lord.
It's not a godly sorrow.
it's not a godly sorrow. This is, I can't shake this.
Yeah.
This is, I'm already a reverend with all the anointing and all everything that I know to do. I'm not able to, you can call me and I can shake and be there for you.
Yeah.
But I just don't seem to be able to get myself up. So I called my mother. I said, Mom, I'm sad. I'm genuinely.
Wow.
And that was probably, I don't know if I've ever done that with my mom, to say, Mom, I'm sad.
What was her response?
Like, she said, okay, do you know why? She spoke to me first. She wanted to find out why. She said something very interesting. She said, you consume a lot. You consume a lot. And she prayed over me.
Wow.
Oh my goodness, my mom prayed over me. And that was really liberating.
Mm.
You know, that was a safe space for me. And I had other people. I think the sliding, the backsliding, were things that the enemy had deposited in me in childhood that had not been dealt with. And so even when I did try and have a romantic relationship, I couldn't, even though I knew sex out of marriage is wrong and I know boundaries, and I would even say, don't kiss. I was like that. I knew the right things to say.
Mm.
But and my therapist said, when your boundaries are violated, it's hard to enforce them.
Yeah.
And I was like, I know that in theory. I know that because I've counseled people.
Mm.
But I haven't
practiced it.
Yeah. I haven't practiced it. I haven't been counseled in my own situation for it. There is something about you know how they say physician heal thyself.
Yeah. Yeah.
There is something about being able to give something, but that doesn't negate the fact that you need to receive it from someone else.
Absolutely.
Like, God did not create us to be all in one.
Mm-hmm.
And I needed to be able to open up myself to receive. Like, strength, I had to relearn that strength is not the denial of the fact that you're hurt. Strength is not just that you just got up and... There is something about being resilient. Don't get me wrong. It's good to be resilient.
Yes.
But be careful that what helped you survive doesn't hinder you thriving.
Yeah.
Because you need to say, I'm not going to break down. You need to say, I'm going to survive. You need to do that. But don't stay on survival mode. You can't live on survival mode.
Yeah.
Because survival mode is maybe staying in the wilderness.
Yeah.
Thriving is when you get into the promised land.
Come on.
And God desires that we prosper and be of good health, even as your soul prospers. This was a scripture that he gave me for, we do this annual fasting and prayer thing every January, 40 days fasting and prayer. And the core scripture is, prosper and be of good health, even as your soul prospers.
Yeah.
Who knew that God was like, your message... is your medicine.
It's for you.
It's like you've got to apply it to yourself. And so that began this like healing relationship with my dad and my mom. I think my dad, when I got to uni, University of Bradford, I remember when I got into the Bradford University, I was like, I was asleep because it was a long drive from Oxford. And then as soon as I entered the Bradford atmosphere, I woke up and I was like, where am I? Like the atmosphere, not like the physical place, but the spiritual atmosphere. I said, And I heard the Spirit of God say, welcome to your wilderness. I said, I don't.
Wow.
Education is what I came for. Nowhere did
I... You're not doing any wilderness.
When I was
here.
Doing UCAS, I did not say, please look for wilderness. I just wanted to come and...
Wow.
And then... So I was very determined. I was like, you know, I'm going to, you know, I'm not going to
focus.
Yeah, I'm going to focus. I'm not going to, you know, I know who I am in God. I know the call of God in my life. Like my older brother would tell you, he thinks I was saved from the womb. Like, because I guess he had a very more expressive, something like that. From God.
Expressive, yeah.
And while mine was more covert.
Yeah.
Like I would still go to, like I go to uni. And I would go to parties, but I was like, I can't go to a club because that's not a club. But I would go to a party. Do you know what I mean?
With and alcohol.
I would go,
you know.
I wouldn't drink, but I would go and I'll dance or whatever. And I wouldn't wear heels because I don't want to attract the guys. Like I was a conscious sinner. Like I don't belong. In my head, I was like, I don't belong in this world. Right? Even Freshers Week, it didn't last long. I was like, I'm not going to any parties. People knocked on my door. And like my housemate knocked on my door. Oh, do you want to go out? I was like, no. It's like, oh, no, it's just for us to bond.
Okay, I just bonded.
And from there, it was just like, every time I was trying to, I would say to God, because he did tell me like, this is what I called you to do here. And I said to him, I can't, like, I remember saying, I'm not Elijah. I can't just show up on the scene and just start doing things. Because I was like, I need to learn the land. And he's like, okay. And I heard the Lord say, if you don't stand as who I've called you to be, you will fall. And yeah, he was right. He's God. He was definitely right. he's God. And I remember so distinctively that the first time I knew there was a target on me was when I went to the hip hop night. I can't remember what it's called now. And the guest DJ was Westwood, Tim Westwood.
Wow. Okay.
so I went. I remember when I was wearing a green dress with my trainers because
don't wear heels because heels attract boys.
Yes, that's my 18-year-old.
And you're
naivety.
Saved and sanctified.
Yes,
trainers.
I only went
boys.
To just you know to be with the you know whatever.
You were infiltrating enemy lines. That was why you were there.
So I was stood by the side, and I remember a particular song being played. At this time, I'd watched Truth About Hip Hop, and I wasn't listening to that. In my own personal space. So I'm in the system. I'm listening to music that I've heard a while ago. And I'm like, oh, my ears, I don't belong here. Mm. I'm putting my soul through trauma because I'm going against my own conscience.
Knowingly. Yeah.
Knowingly going against my own conscience. And I remember this song, and I don't know how you're going to do it, but the song that was playing, the chorus was, she's a...
Okay.
Yeah? I don't know if I can say... Okay, it was like, she's a ho-ho-ho-ho-ho-ho. And I was seeing people's daughters dancing. So she's a ho-ho-ho-ho-ho. And I said, God, I don't belong here.
Wow.
I am not me that they died for. Jesus died for me, bought me, and somebody, I'm now be dancing to someone calling me a ho. It cannot happen. Let me be going. So all that was happening, and I remember Westwood walks past, and he literally walks in front of me. And stops and turns to me. Mm-hmm. I said, they have had a meeting in their camp. I said, there's somebody
that should not be here.
So he stops and he's like, hey, how you doing? Whatever, whatever. Please, I promise you, I'm dressed like I'm going to church. there is nothing comely about me that you should stop. And then he says hello, whatever, then goes and does his set. And then at the end, towards the end of the night, one of his bouncers comes and said, oh.
Auntie, what? Your trainers and your best Sunday dress.
And my green dress that was even a hand-me-down by my friend, who's also my nickname. One who, remember that green dress that has mesh like this at the top? Anyway.
Wow.
And I was just like, I said to him like, oh no, I'm good. I'm out. Like, I'm done. But there was a girl that I went with, just before university, she told me she'd gone to India and a cow had stood on her foot. Random story. So she's on crutches. Random.
Okay.
So I was like, I can't leave her to get back by herself. So I'm going to wait for her and then take her with Samaritan. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of the night, I'm like trying to get her like, let's go. Like, I'm done. Like, I wanted to go a while ago. So now it's done.
It's time
let's,
to go.
Let's be
yeah.
out. And then Westwood himself then comes because of his bouncer had gone.
That anointing on your life is really strong.
I said, I'm targeted. and he comes and he says, so my guy said, you don't want to come, but I want you to come to the after party. I said, I really don't. I'm good. I don't need to. So he's like, insistent.
Back and forth.
And so I said, oh, I really can't go. My friend is on crutches. I've got to get her home. Ah, friend. Who is a friend? A friend is someone that has your back. I don't know this girl. I can't even remember her name now. But you know, Freshers Week, you're making quick friends or whatever. And she comes and she's like, oh, that's okay. I'll go too. She probably doesn't sound like that, but in my head, she sounds like that right now. You're going where?
What kind of friend?
With your crutches, after party, with somebody that's old enough to be our father. Because you know he's...
Come on.
Anyway, at that point...
Don't tell me you found yourself.
I found myself in a hotel.
Eh? Oh, my days.
I found my... Yeah, that's...
In, I did not see that.
They were at van. They carried van. Their van with all them people. We entered van. Daddy and mommy, I'm now grown. You can't do anything to me. But I want you to know that the God that you serve, the God you were praying to, protected your daughter. Anyway, I entered the van. I remember him like, putting his hand on. Like, I said, ah! They want to turn me to groupie. I was thinking about, you know those Nollywood movies? Where the girl go to? I don't belong here. You even know the name. When she carry her shoe like this, I'm be running. So I'm in. I said, no, I'm good. I'll sit on the chair. We sat down on the chair. What was supposed to be an after party was just me, Westwood, and the girl in his hotel room.
Hey!
Bekele, bekele.
What are you doing in what his hotel
room?
What are you doing there?
With my safe, sanctified, knowing my best friend, the Holy Spirit. Anyway, this is first year of uni. First year, first week. I didn't know the environment.
This is just your first week.
Yeah. Just my first week. It was a blockbuster. I said... Falling is fast.
It is fast.
Fast.
No, but seriously.
I was in the hotel room. And then in the hotel room, that's when I started finding voice. So I said, oh, do you go to church? That's when I remember.
Maybe that's why the Lord.
No, I said, he said, my father was a priest. But he actually said this line to me. I'll never forget it. He said, too many things have been done in my name for me to go back. I said, if I had a walking recorder, mobile, then I would have been like, please.
Repeat what he said.
And so he said that, and I was like, oh, it wasn't too late. He said, do you like my music? I said, I don't listen to you. That's when I found my voice. I found my voice.
Because it was now or never.
Now or definitely never. So I said, he was like, and then he said something like, okay, how about your God and my God? I said, no, don't do that.
God and your God do what?
I said, don't do that. Anyway, before I know it though, believe it or not, Auntie on Crutches was a willing participant. So they start...
Even with that toe that was broken.
In that living room, they start kissing, doing that. I said, well, let me go to the other room. I'll give you privacy. They didn't ask for it, but I said, let me give you privacy. So I left. I went through the door that was in front of me. Guess where I ended up?
Where?
In the bedroom. The door that led to, I said, Onola, a possible hear of this. I hear me, temi pa me.
Honestly. frying pan to fire.
But thank you. For me, I was like, okay, but at least they're in the living room. I'll just, and I'll...
But they're going to graduate now.
They graduated. It's like you watch the movie. They both came next to me. And then he was like, while she was doing whatever with him, on him, should I say, he was like, I didn't want your friend. It's you I wanted. Don't you see how we're Mary? Those wicked spirits.
Okay, shout out to Nigerian parents who watch Nollywood and everybody wants to steal your star. So, but I think there is something
our parents understood
whatever is on you.
I knew the devil wanted me. He said, while the girl was busy doing probably her best work, I said, uh-uh. And then eventually he whatever, gave up. And then they went back into the living room. I saw another door. This time,
I'm not getting it wrong.
I grabbed my shoe like they did in the movie. No, you don't understand. I grabbed the muscle like this. And I ran. I came out in the hallway, turned left. I will never forget it. Ran, went to the desk, but it was late or early, too early in the morning. There was nobody at the desk. So I was like, I'm going to go out. I didn't have taxi number.
No, that's your punishment.
I didn't know where I was. Do you know what was interesting? After a while, I realized that when I was driving with my parents into that...
Bradford. Yeah.
That was the first place that drew my attention. I didn't know why. I didn't know. Who knew that? God was saying, stay away from there.
Make sure.
But anyway, I remember late at night, I finally put my shoes on. outside the hotel, no taxi number. There was no internet on my phone. It was one of those Nokia phones from back in the day. Green screen from back in the day. So I was like, how will I get home? I didn't know anywhere. I don't want to get killed either. Like, so I remember I said, God, please help me.
Oh, so now you remember God.
Relax now. Don't be judging me. Damn me. It's not fair.
No, I'm not judging.
And then a car came. The only car came full lights because it was dark. He came, stops in front of me. And I looked at the man. I can't remember what he looks like. But I remember saying to him, I had my address because I didn't know where I was there, but I had it in the car, the student car. Yeah. I said, this is where I'm going. Don't speak to me. Don't touch me. Just drop me here.
You have a mind, you know that.
Ah, the mind that I lost. It came back, and it came back with a vengeance.
No, but like the audacity. Yes. You need help.
Mm-hmm.
You're hitchhiking.
Yes.
And you're set. Now you remember those boundaries.
Can you tell my parents not to beat me about all these things I'm saying on here.
What? This is in the first week.
The first week.
To be honest, cover your children in prayer.
Like, because it's a wow thing. The man didn't speak to me, you know. He didn't say a word.
He literally
dropped me.
I could have been an angel.
Part of me actually believes that because I remember walking after he dropped me, getting down, taking a few steps towards the door, turning around. Obviously, it's a car, so it can go quickly, but there was just something like, So I went back to my hostel, my student accommodation. I slept the sleep I'd never slept before. When I woke up thinking, this story, no one will hear it. My housemates were like, you all right? I said, what? So, your friend in Westwood came to look for you. I said, Sorry?
Well, what is it really?
What do you mean? Said, oh, apparently when the door slammed, they heard it. When I ran, they heard the door slam.
And they ran after you.
So they came to find me because it was really like it was. So I'm sure he didn't want.
He was worried. Yeah.
He's not worried for me. He doesn't want a girl missing Westwood.
Yeah.
It's not a good. Yeah. It's not a good heading. And so I was like, oh, I'm all right. He actually called me again. He called my phone.
How did you get your number?
The auntie. The crutch.
There's some friends that...
Not a friend, my dear. Test them before you give them... what's it called? Title. She gave him my number and then he was like, oh, it's a shame that you didn't hang out. I think the Mobile Awards were coming up, so he wanted me to accompany him to the Mobile Awards. I said, you know, I'm actually all right. I think I'm not getting awarded there. I'm all right. I don't need to...
Very confused.
I was like, oh, can we stay in touch? I said, I'm all right, you know. I'm actually all right.
Definitely not.
That's a no from me. I finally found my voice.
It's a hard no.
It's a hard no, sir. Mutu sosa.
Because the respect returns.
You are my uncle.
Oh, wow.
But it was, I remember thinking that day, like, if I don't get a grip.
That fall is fast.
Anything
could have happened.
That would have been,
And your parents would have been like, no, Wonu. You have the wrong child.
Exactly. Me that I preached at 15 in the church, there were people falling on that anointing,
wow.
All of that. You know, so it wasn't that I hadn't seen the glory of God. And do you know what's wild? And I don't know. What's wild is even after that, I'm telling you, my slides were wild.
You slid.
That first semester of uni was like, who are you really?
Like your eyes opened.
Like, and then I felt horrible for everybody that I had looked at and said,
judge.
How could they do that? Yeah. I said, oh, I see the how. Mm-hmm. I looked for church. I was looking for church. After things were getting a bit out of hand, a lot out of hand, I went to find the pastor. I gave my life to God. I gave my life to God so much at uni that one day they did altar call.
And the pastor told you not to come.
I was the first to come out. The pastor didn't even pray for salvation. He just gave me double portion of his anointing. I said, it's not anointing. I want. I need the salvation to stick.
I need you to, because there'll be people watching who, whilst we are laughing because we're on the other side, they're like, that's where I am.
Real talk. And I think that's where I love the fact that God gave me the privilege of meeting my bishop. So I think when I came back from uni, I was like, I need to get baptized. Because I had up on
something point, has to.
I hadn't been baptized. So I remember sitting in my room again, just being back home.
Yeah.
In the room, I'd had so many encounters with God at night and just been like, I'm lost.
Yeah.
Even in the midst of all of that, actually, one of my friends, Apostle Toby, called me. He wasn't Apostle Toby at the time, but we were just friends. Mm. He called me at uni because at the time we used to have this thing where, because of how close we were as friends, I could pick up like he's off. You know? Mm. I'm like, yo. You're all right. Like, could you get back to Jesus?
Quickly.
Back to the Lord. And he would do the same. So I remember him calling me and saying, well, what's going on? Mm. I was like, it's not.
You want the truth or
you
know, the truth?
Because I got accepted to the university he went to.
Okay.
But because him and his brother were going there, I said, I'm not going there. Because I was like, otherwise, where's the fun? Oh, like, we need to be able to, like, travel,
join,
yeah. So I said, maybe I should have come. I should have
that would have helped.
I should have stayed there so we can ground everybody. But so there was all these moments of God calling me back, even being at church every Sunday, like no matter where I was the night before, and like I will get up and I will go to church because like I was like, God, I'm not being who I'm supposed to be.
Yeah. And you said you wanted to get baptized.
I got baptized when I got home. My mom and Dr. Chiari, one of my other mentors, they baptized me. I sent a message to everybody on my phone book from uni.
Lose my number.
I said, if you come to party, I'm not there.
Leave
me alone. And you know, some people were like, oh, you're such a Pharisee thing to do. You don't need to do it. There was a guy that I had formed a terrible friendship with, a situationship with. He was like, oh, I'm losing my, because they used to call me Ola, because my name is Omawun Ola. So I said, I'm my Ola. I said, I'm not your Ola. Jesus
is Ola.
And so it was all of that that was happening. But then Apostle Toby invited me to go to a Benny Hinn conference with them. Okay. At that time, they'd started the campus fellowships that we eventually became part of. So before Benny Hinn's conference, they had a meeting with my bishop, who's now my bishop. And so I followed them today. I was like, you guys hurry up. And then during the meeting, bishop comes out and he says, join. I was like, oh, no, sir. I know it's, I'm okay. It's like, there's nothing I'm telling them that you can't hear. It's not a secret. Come. So he joined and he was actually training them for ministry at the time. Because now that I'd given my life to God and I went back to uni, all of a sudden, I'm a lot bolder with my faith.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, people are calling me for prayer. So there was one particular Friday that I was praying with someone on the phone. I think that person was about to be kicked out of uni and they wanted prayer for mercy. So I was praying for them. My housemate at the time, heard the prayer, comes into my room. She says she feels the power of God, the glory of God. She's on her face and she's praying. And she's one other person comes to visit the guy downstairs. He hears us praying. He joins. We have our first night vigil. And then they're like, let's do this every week. And I'm like, I'm okay. Because I'm still not wanting to do ministry. At this point, I'm just like, I just want to recover my walk with the Lord.
Yeah.
Let me just, every Friday for at least if not the whole of first semester and second semester, we had night vigil.
Wow.
Every Friday, if not the whole of and it kept growing. People would hear about it and they will come.
Yeah.
So Apostle Toby heard of that. Obviously, we'll catch up. He's heard that's happening. He's like, oh, that's great. And then he was like, you need a covering. I was like, bro, you're talking church talk and I'm not trying to do this. I just want to be a Jesus babe and be okay. That's it.
Doing my thing.
And he was like, no, because this is growing. There's clearly a call of God on your life. I said, we know that, but I'm not trying to do that. Anyway, so we come into this meeting with Bishop. He's trained on ministry. I was like, I probably need to know this. But I'm like, yeah, I'm not trying to make this official. I'm not trying to start nothing. So at the end, Bishop sits me down. He speaks to me. He's like, there's a call of God on your life. I was like,
Yes.
I've heard this. I mean, I've heard it prophesied. When we were younger, I didn't get prophesied that he's going to be a millionaire. Me, they tell me I'm going to be a preacher. I used to be so upset. I used to be like, swap. My name means child enters wealth. I love my brother, but I don't mind. I can be a millionaire. He can suffer for the sake of the gospel. What's the problem?
Can't we have both?
But if I got to choose at that time, I was definitely choosing the money. I grew up with prophecies like that. But because of the offense in my heart, because of the sin in my life, I just could not connect with the prophecy. I had seen visions. I had encounters with God, but I just didn't. I'm like, I don't want to be false. I'm not trying to dream.
Yeah.
So I had this meeting with Bishop. He gave me a book by my Archbishop called Dedicated to Distinction. Like, I read it and it just seemed like all of a sudden, again, things were connecting. But he said, you need to do one thing. It's like, one thing you must do. And ask the Lord to help you. He said, you need to forgive your dad. You need to process the unforgiveness. Mm. And if you ask me why I was upset with him, it wasn't anything directly to do with me. My dad's, you know, he's not perfect, but it wasn't like a direct. It was, anyway. So, yeah. And it wasn't a thing where I'm going to call him and say, Daddy, I forgive you for where to where.
It's just something you needed to
do. I needed to do. And I remember I got home one day and I wrote my dad for the first time. I can remember texting my dad saying, I love you. And that took so much out of me. Mm. And I slept. I don't know, it's emotional sleep that you just lock off. So I slept and I woke up and my dad said, I love you too. And keep in mind that when I went to university, my dad bought TV, like a CD player. He made sure his girl was good. Mm. As it makes sense. He actually was one of the ones that would visit me while I was at uni. My friends loved when my dad came because he would chat our food.
Wow.
Like food that I had to cook, but still. Yeah. He brought
that offense.
I could see that, but it was just something. I would enjoy him, but there was something that the inner child needed to heal.
Yeah.
And so after I did that, to the glory of God, it helped my relationship with God. So even when I started dealing with stuff, I remember I would send a message to Bishop and be like, I don't think this salvation thing is for me, because every time I feel like I'm up, something will happen and I'm down again. And he said, it's because you don't know who you are. There is something about discipling people, not just to know who God is, but also who they are in God, your sonship, your identity. Mm. And when you understand sonship, starting from even like in the New Testament, there are about 5 or 6 Greek words used for son that goes from like infant stage to like full grown man. And in your journey with God, you do go from infant stage in your journey and to you develop into maturity. You're not born mature.
Of course.
And I think if we understood that, we'll be intentional in our discipling of people, we'll be intentional in our being merciful, because sometimes you look at someone and you're judging them at the stage of a grown adult when they're actually still babies. And a baby will throw up on himself.
Mistakes.
The baby will poop. The baby will make mistakes. But that doesn't mean they're any less of a son.
Yeah.
And I understood that actually, yeah, even though I'd known the Lord from a young age and I had done ministry from a young age,
yeah,
it did not equate to being mature. It didn't equate.
It's not about how long
It didn't even equate to sanctification, because there is that.
It's a process.
There is that sanctification. And I'm so grateful to God for the mentorship of my bishop. I'm Bishop David Onimisi. Let me say his name.
Come on, shout it out. Because he took the time to...
He took the time to...
To put in the work.
Even when I would... He was also a place I could go and confess my sins. I think one of the harmful things...
And not judge you, not condemn you.
One of the things that's harmful for those of us in ministry, that started ministry at a young age, is that we forget that we are tempted in every way.
Yeah.
Jesus was tempted in every way, yet without sin. We are also... We face the same challenges that everyone does, with the added weight of
that
ministry.
Responsibility of ministry.
And so it is important that you have mentors that don't just look at you on the one side as the anointed. They must also see you. There is a reason why the Bible would say Jesus was the son of David according to the flesh, but the son of God according to the spirit of holiness. And it's so important. And, you know, I'm so grateful for his, like, even now, yeah, when I do get it wrong, when I have gotten it wrong, let me not say when, let me not predict any of that wrong.
Amen. So, no.
I can go to my bishop. Sometimes I feel like at your age, how can you...
You big woman.
How can you, you know...
But, how can you not though?
But don't allow reputation.
Titles. I mean, Reverend Wani. You
it's
know?
A heavy thing. Don't let reputation hold you back. There's in the book of Revelation, it says you have a reputation of being alive or being actually dead. So I remember I had to tell myself, save your soul before you save your face.
Yeah.
Save your soul rather than save your face. God will say, if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes what causes the private sins to become harmful to the fold and to is because...
To the body of Christ.
To the body of Christ is because leaders... because of our saving of face, because we don't want to let you down, because we want to uphold certain things, we don't confess. And you can't have a mentor that you can't be, for a lack of a better word. Before you guys cancel, let me find the word, transparent. Before you could say naked, but now you can't say naked. My mentor is a man. I can't say transparent. Transparent, Muslim. You have to be able to be transparent with him. Right? And I'm grateful for him. I'm grateful that I have. He's my spiritual father, Bishop David. But I also have other mentors. I have female mentors that I can go to. And because there's certain things that, you know, he's my father, but I need to go and speak to a woman about this. Yeah. You know what I mean?
What would you say to someone who's like, okay, so yeah, Reverend Bonu, I definitely need some kind of mentor, some kind of discipleship. Like, what should they do? Because they're tired of just falling and falling and falling.
Yeah, and that's a good question. First of all, I'm going to say, mentorship is not a 6-week course that you buy. That's not mentorship. That's a program, a course. Mm-hmm. It's not discipleship. Discipleship walks with you. Discipleship is you're doing life with them. It's the model that Jesus did. He lived with them, stayed in the same house with them, ate with them. They were in close proximity to ask questions, even after he taught.
Yeah.
They would ask questions. So you need to find someone or ask God to connect you with someone, should I say.
That's what I was going to say, because you can't recruit your shepherd.
No, you can't. It doesn't. Some people try. And if some people have come to me and say, oh,
I like the way you look. Can you?
Yeah.
I like the way you preach.
Yeah, those are the things. And I don't, I have people that I mentor, both men and women, to the glory of God. I have a specific group of women that they're called pioneering women. Mm. And I disciple them. Of course, I disciple those that are part of Salem South London, the church that I pastor. Yeah. And other people that are not of so-called this groups, independent people that are not in groups. So I do, but I don't just take anyone on because I must be assigned to you. Otherwise it won't work.
Of course.
It won't work. And you need to pray that God will give you that. I wasn't looking for bishop when I was trying to hurry them up.
You were even going in
the Benin conference. I wanted to go and see healing, miracle, Holy Spirit, you know, cry in the fire. Worship and, you know, all of that and encounter the Lord. It wasn't, but it was divine connection. And I do believe that God will connect the Elishas to the Elijahs, the Joshuas to the Moses, the Ruths to the Naomis. And be careful, you don't even pay attention to just what you see by as external result, because you can miss. But Naomi, by all accounts, was a failure.
Yeah.
You know, failed.
Yeah.
Her children died. Her husband died. There was nothing really, but she had a wisdom. She had wisdom that would position Ruth for a legacy destiny, that cannot be taken away from her. Yeah. So it's important. I mean, some people are like, oh, some people over the years would try and tell me like, oh, Bishop is not the right fit for me because he's different to my expression or whatever it is that they were saying. And I was like, you don't understand. I have a mentor that he is a fulfillment of scripture when it says about the qualifications of a bishop.
Yeah.
He runs his home well. He's a man of integrity.
Come on.
He's a humble man. Does that make sense? See, when it comes to the anointing and all that, he's anointed beyond what, but it is the Spirit of God upon his life.
And that Spirit is the one same Spirit.
So the anointing for me, you can grow in it and grow in your understanding, but it's the work of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
You see that character, that the character of God, the fruit, that you need to work out, that you need the working out of your own salvation.
Mm.
That one, the Holy Spirit enables you and graces you, but you have a part to play in that.
Yeah.
To find a man that I can say loves God,
yeah,
that I can say runs his home well,
yeah,
that I'm not saying I haven't seen some of his character flaws as a
human being.
And I think also, as a privilege of being close to him.
Yeah.
He's my father. He's my friend. We can talk. We've had disagreements over the years. We work closely together. But he's, needless to say, he's my father. Yeah. And he's a man that loves the Lord, a man of integrity, a man that carries fire. I love, he's get me so, like, I want to be like that because he could teach. He's the one that helped me understand and appreciate teaching because I love the preaching. I love But my father would teach the word and then he would switch.
Wow.
Like, teaching so you can get understanding and then he would demonstrate and you're like, well, oh, come on. I will go straight into demonstration. I'm like, light the fire. That can't be. I'm like,
I'll teach you later. You know, watch
but,
this.
And, but he reminds me of the scripture, the things that Jesus began to teach and to do. Or to do and like, so I could see he's seasoned, he's processed.
Yeah.
You know, he knows how to. I wasn't very patient when I started leading people. You come into, if you're a leader and you come in late, I could send you back home.
Yeah.
Like you will make your way all the way to, you won't stay for service. I'd be like, go home. You don't do this for your workplace. Your workplace, so you don't come. I did not allow.
What?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You bring me up for another leadership. Listen, they probably would have done a YouTube video about me. and my bishop would call and say, what happened? He's like, okay. And then he'll say, baby, you need to be patient. You got to be patient because you also didn't get to this
come
place.
Come on, I mean, overnight. With your baggages and luggages that you
brought. But I used to be like, my baggage and luggages did not affect my service. I should be like, baby, you've got to nurture them into the state of maturity. So even now, Salem South London, some of the people that I've had the privilege of raising over the years, they will meet some of these guys now and they're like, oh, you guys
have it easy.
But you know what is amazing? 2.0. And they're like, and they themselves are like, easy. No, Rev is not easy on us, you know. She'd be giving us 50 days of prayer, 100 days of prayer, and
40 days of fasting.
And then you have to come early. And then you have to do, I said, but that's like basic.
The normal.
That's basic. But I'm really grateful to God. Because if there's something I would say about my life, I'm one that's known the mercy of God. I know. Yeah.
Speaks of the mercy
like,
of God.
I said to people, I didn't know I was a sinner till I got saved.
Mm.
Like I encountered God and then I was like, oh.
Okay.
And I need thee every hour.
Yeah.
So I'm grateful. But that doesn't mean that I say that to people. I say God is merciful. But it doesn't mean that you can't have a walk with God that you stand upright.
Yeah.
That so when I meet my brothers and sisters that have been in the faith and they have been living well, I say, you know what? Hey, follow that example. But I do believe my testimony is for those that think that, like Peter, because I denied Christ 3 times, I'm no user. I'm done. No, there's a restorer. Yeah. God said to me, I don't stop being your savior just because you're now saved. I'm still savior.
Yeah.
And Romans chapter 5 speaks to me. Says, if while we were yet sinners, he died for us, how much more now shall he save us from the like it's. You're now a son.
You make mistakes, but your identity has changed.
And so if you confess your sins, and he is faithful and just to forgive him. Now make sure that repentance is repentance, the changing of your mind and you know, work out your salvation with fear.
And trembling.
Don't abuse the grace and mercy of God. Yeah. And because sometimes we take an attribute of God and we stretch it to negate the others, but his mercy and grace doesn't negate his justice.
Yeah, his holiness.
His holiness. And it's something that I'm grateful that he's taught me and is teaching me.
Amen.
And yeah, you've got an exclusive here.
Come on.
Please don't start in my DM, ask me no questions.
please don't judge. No, we don't sing that song on this.
We are in process. Yes.
Thank you so much.
Thank you
for sharing that. I'm so confident that that's going to bless someone because I'm not going to lie. When I saw, like I've heard you minister and I was like, this woman is fire. And then doing research and stuff for our conversation today, I went on your socials and I was like, this woman is fire. To hear this account of your testimony, it's mind-blowing. Because it shows the power of God. It shows the mercy of God. It shows the grace of God at work in your life.
Yeah.
That somebody who encountered, you know, shortcomings and struggles and, you know, felt, you know, the righteous man falls 7 times and rises again. Seeing you rise again, I pray it encourages others not to discount themselves, not to write themselves off like, no, but she hasn't fallen as
I've fallen. You'd be surprised, actually. And here you are, and you're still a witness, and God is still using you. And yeah, I'm encouraged by your testimony. And I am excited. We must do this part because I don't want your people to be like,
she forgot.
You asked me and you didn't.
No, it's not even you. It's me they'll be looking at.
I'm just going to put a plug to these events that are coming up at Salem, South London.
Yes.
You've heard her yourself. So, you know, I don't need to promote. I'm just going to tell you about these events that are coming up. So, Reverend Bonu is available for one-to-one personal development sessions, and they can be booked online at wonuadefala.com. I'll put something on the screen for you guys to see that. And then they're having a Power to Reign conference, Salem, South London, that is. And that's going to start from the 21st of June. Again, you know what I'll do? In the description box, I'll put all the details. And then Reverend Wanu's ministry, international ministry, I can't even say them.
Eleuthera,
which means freedom.
Yes.
She told me that before, so it's not because
it means freedom. Yeah. I'm passionate about
She's doing a retreat boot camp, and that's happening in late August. Yes. I'm going to put all the details in the description box. Reverend Wanu, God bless you. Thank you for your vulnerability. Thank you for your transparency. I know that God's going to reward you. Mm-hmm. And hopefully in the near future, we'll be able to get you back in and find out what you're getting up to. Yes. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Dami. I appreciate you. I met my sister.
Yes, so our Ijebu de Christian Bibs. Thank you so much for watching, listening to the Come See podcast. Don't forget to subscribe, like, leave a comment. Until next time. We'll be right back.